Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Amud Bet. About to take a look at the final Mishnah. This will take us to the end of the Perek in this, the first chapter of Avodah Zarah. Ein maskirin lahen batim be'eretz Yisrael. We are not allowed to rent to them. Them here presumably being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. We'll see some of the reasons behind this in the Gemara. We're not allowed to rent houses to them in Eretz Yisrael. Vein tzrich lomar sadot, and certainly not fields. Well, the Gemara will explain why that's more obvious. Uvesuria, maskirin lahem batim avalo sadot. Suria, which is an area in present-day Syria, part of Syria, and extending a little bit north of there, which was conquered by David, as recorded in Shmuel Bet Perek Chet, and is subject to some questionable status vis-a-vis its status as Eretz Yisrael or not. We'll see that in the Gemara. Therefore, has a slightly lesser status, and as a result, maskirin lahem batim were allowed to rent houses, avalo sadot, but not fields. Fields again being seen as more severe. Uvechutza la'aretz, outside of Israel, fully outside of Israel, machin lahem batim, we're even allowed to sell houses to them. Umaskirin sadot, we're allowed to rent fields to them. So again, fields being one notch less. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's all Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Be'eretz Yisrael maskirin lahem batim avalo sadot. He has one step more lenient. In Eretz Yisrael, we're allowed to rent houses, but not fields. Suria machrin batim, in Suria, we're even allowed to sell houses. Maskirin sadot, even allowed to rent fields out to them. V'chutza la'aretz machrin elu ve'elu. V'chutza, you could sell either one. And then the Mishnah notes, af bimkom shamru lahaskir lo levet dira amru. Even where we say you're allowed to rent out to them, we have to see whose opinion is being considered here. That's not for a residence. Why? Neshehu machnis l'tocho avodah zarah, because he will bring avodah zarah typically into the house. So we see this. This is now specifically about pagans. Shenemar lo tavitu ayva el beitecha. So, since the house is yours and you're renting it, therefore you can't rent it to him because he will bring a toeva into your house. And in any case, any place, even in Chutzlarts, you're not allowed to rent a bathhouse because it's still called your bathhouse. And we'll see what the considerations are at the end of the parak. Okay, in the Gemara, my answer is lomar sadot. Why are fields more obvious than houses that cannot be rented out to them in Eretz Yisrael? Either mishum bidi batarti, is if it's because there's two different considerations when it comes to a field. Chada chaneat karka, first of all, because of the isur in the Torah, lo techonem, which is interpreted in Dvarim Zion, which is interpreted as lo titein lehem chanaya bakarka, don't give them an encampment, a place in the land. That's referring to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And second of all, v'chada mishum de mafka la mimaser. Secondly, by allowing them to have fields, those fields no longer will be subject to the rules of Trumot and Masrot because they'll be harvested by a non-Jew. Ihachi batim nami katarti. Houses have the same problem. V'chada chaneir karka, v'chada de kamafka la mimezuzah. There's no more mezuzah on the door. So Mishashaya, mezuzah chovat adarhu. Mezuzah is different because mezuzah is an obligation of the person living there. And therefore, regardless of who owns it, the person living there, currently renting it, is non-Jewish. There is no obligation of mezuzah whatsoever. So you're not being mafkia it as such. This leads to an interesting discussion about what's the status of the fields that have been rented to the non-Jew. It seems that there really should be an obligation of Trumot Masrot, but in fact he's not going to separate them. Okay, Besuria Maskirin Batim. Why is it that we're not allowed to sell houses to them in Suria, according to Rameir, but we're allowed to rent houses? Mishum Mechira de Eretz Yisrael. It's a gzerah because of selling them in Eretz Yisrael proper. So why don't we even decree and not allow to rent houses to them in Syria? The answer is the classic response to the issue of a gzerah. He gufa gzerah van and ekum nigzor gzerah gzerah. It itself, meaning selling a house in Syria is itself a gzerah, or renting a house to them in Eretz Yisrael is itself a gzerah. So therefore, why would we add a gzerah to a gzerah? It's too big of a, too far of a fence to build. But wait a second, we're not allowed to rent fields out to them in Syria, And that's a gzera l'gzera, v'kagazrinan, because that's a gzera atu renting fields to them in Eretz Yisrael, and that itself is a gzera atu selling fields. The answer is hatam lav gzerahu. That's not a gzera l'gzera, that's a single gzera, right? Kesavar kibush achit shmei kibush. And this is the divide, whether or not we hold that David's conquest of Syria gave it the status of Eretz Yisrael. So according to Rabbi Meir, evidently, kibush yachid shmei kibush, that kibush yachid, which may mean that it was kibush done, conquest done without the full permission of the Sanhedrin, or kibush done before David conquered Eretz Yisrael proper. The Plishtim still held their land. In any case, if you hold that it really is full kibush, then that means the land is 100% Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the issue of Masrot is the same exact issue in Syria, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Sadeh di'ipe tarti, with the field, you have two considerations, Chanei Abakarka and Masrot. Gazru b'harabbanan, therefore the Rabbanan made a gzerah not to even rent fields to them in Syria. Batim delayed b'utarti, but houses don't have those two considerations, as we said. Mezuzah is off the table. Lo gazru bahu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan did not make the gzerah. Okay, now b'chutz la'aretz, we said that you could rent fields and sell houses. And so the sadeh di'it bat betarti. So the field you can't sell to them because there's two different considerations. And therefore gazru bahu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan made the gzerah of not selling it to them. Okay, that's Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Eretz Yisrael Maskir number 2 minutes. We noticed in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi has everything one notch more lenient. So, my Tama, what's his reason? Sadoti Bahutarti, his fields have two considerations, as we said. Gazru Bahu Rabbanan in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you're not allowed to rent fields to them in Eretz Yisrael. Batim Delayed Bahutarti, houses don't have two considerations, but only one of Chaneya Bakarka. Well, Gazru Rabbanan, therefore, there's only the issue of giving them chaneya bakarka, and that doesn't exist if you only rent houses to them, only if you sell it to them. Over Syria, mochrin, in Syria, you're allowed to sell houses and rent fields. My Tama Kasara Kibush Yechid, Lushme Kibush, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the mayor and says that Syria does not have Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the field itself isn't really chayav and masrot, and therefore sadeh di'it patarti, a field only has two considerations to start with. Gazru barabanan, they made the gzerah not to sell. Batim delay putarti, houses don't have such a consideration. Lo gazru barabanan, they didn't make the gzerah at all, you could sell houses. Chutzlaritz mochrin, and Rabbi Yossi says in Chutzlaritz you could sell both. My tama kev demirchak lo gazrinan, because it's so far away from everything, there's no reason to make such a gzerah. Okay, that now lays out Rameir Rabbi Yossi, and the linchpin around with the disagreement seems to be about kibush yachid. I'm reviewing on Mar Shmuel. Halacha Rabbi Yossi, we rule like Rabbi Yossi leniently. Rabbi Yossi vad shelo yasena shchuna. However, there's a consideration that in Chutzlaritz, which is where Rabbi Yossi lives, you're allowed to sell houses to them. However, that you're not allowed to sell houses to create a whole neighborhood of pagans. Chama shchuna, how big is a shchuna? Tana in shchuna, pchuta mishlosha b'nei adam. That's three people, it's ostensibly three households. V'leichosh til ma'azel hay Yisrael mazab min lachad goy. So why aren't we concerned that once Yisrael will sell to one pagan, v'azel hayachu mazab min lachad goy, and the other guy will sell to two, which is permitted, and together you got three. So the answer is, Rabbi, alifnei mefaktinan, alifnei delifnei lo mefaktinan. We are adjured to not enable a violation. That's lifnei iver lo titei mikshol. But we're not commanded to avoid setting up a circumstance where the result will be a violation, even though we didn't do it. So therefore, by us renting out, selling to one person, and somebody else sold to two, and those are all individually legitimate acts, the result will be three. That's not a problem for us. Okay, the end of the Mishnah says, Af makom shamru la haskir. So even in a place where they said you're allowed to rent out, we said you're not allowed to rent it out for a residence, etc. Now, why does it say even a place they said you're allowed to rent? Michal de'ika duchter lo mogri, does that mean there are places where you're not allowed to rent to them? Hustamak Rameir, it sounds like this is appropriating Rameir's opinion, because according to Biosi, there's no place in the world that you're not allowed to rent a house to them. Even in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed. Biosi b'chol duchter mogri, because according to Biosi, you could rent everywhere. So therefore, the language of the Mishnah, af makom shamru lahaskir, even in those places we're allowed to rent, identifies that there's some places you're not allowed to rent, and therefore that must be per the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Okay, we said in any place you're not allowed to rent out a Beit Merchatz, because a Beit Merchatz, a bathhouse, is considered to be the Jews, and everybody calls it the Jews. Now, this issue is a little bit complex. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo yiskor adam merchatzo legoy. You should not rent out your Merchatz to a non-Jew, because it's called yours. You're renting it out to him, but it's yours. And the goy is doing work because he's got the thing open on Shabbat Yom Tov, which is technically legitimate, but everybody thinks that it is yours and you've got it going on Shabbat and Yom Tov. What about a kuti? Now remember, in the times of Shem Gamliel, the kutim, the shomronim, were considered to be somewhat wayward Jews. And now, are you allowed to rent it out to a kuti? And Shem Gamliel, by the way, famously held the kutim in those areas that they were concerned halachically, were actually very medactic, very careful, and he permitted matzat kuti bePesach. So he says shari, therefore it's mutar. Now why kuti? Emar avid beMelacha b'chulo shomayid. So we know the kuti won't do melacha on Shabbat. In those days, at least, they wouldn't do. Certainly, shomronim today wouldn't. But why aren't we concerned that he'll do melacha on Chol HaMoed? The answer is b'chulo shomayid on Anami Avdinan. Guess what? We also do. We'll keep our bathhouses open on Chulo Shomayid. That's nothing wrong with that. Aval sadeu legoy mai. What about renting out your field to the goy? Shari, that's permitted. Why? My tama arisa rusutei kavid. When the goy is doing work on Chol HaMoed, everybody assumes he's working as a sharecropper, and he's not doing work on your behalf. He's doing his own work. So merchatz dami amri arisutei rusutei kavid. So why don't we say the same thing about a non-Jew who rents out your bathhouse, which we said is prohibited? Why don't we just say that anybody seeing him work will be say he's doing his own work as part of some sort of partnership? The answer is arisa de merchatz lo avdin shi. People don't have such contractual relationships in a merchatz, but they do have in a field. Okay, we've got a third opinion here. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, lo yasker adam sadeo lechuti. You cannot rent out your field to a kuti, neshani kreit al shmo, because the field is called yours. Now this is the opposite of what we've seen. V'kuti zeh oseh bo melacha b'chol shamoed, and he does work on chol shamoed, like watering the fields, beginning of Masechet Moed Katan, prohibited to us. Aval goy mai, what about a goy? Shari, why da amri arisa rusute avid? When somebody sees the goy working the field on Chol HaMoed, they'll say, yeah, the goy has some sort of a sharecropping partnership with the Jewish owner, and he's working on his own. So, why wouldn't people say the same thing about the kuti? And the answer is, arusute, the Rabbi Shimon Elazar lately. Because he says there is no such thing. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says there is no such thing in a field. So sharecropping. Meaning people don't make that assumption that they see somebody working in a field that they're working as a sharecropper. They assume they're working for the owner. So alagoy my tama mutar. So why is it mutar to rent your field out to a non-Jew? The answer is damrina levitzayit. Because if you tell the non-Jew don't work on Saturdays, he won't do it. Or we don't work on Chol HaMoed, he won't do it. Kuti nami amrino levitzayit. So why don't you tell the Shomroni also, the kuti? The answer is kuti lo tzayit. The kuti won't listen to you. Why? I know the Torah better than you. I know the rules better than you, and I'm not going to listen to you. He might not say that to your face, but in his mind, and we are familiar with this phenomenon of people who assume that they understand things better, and therefore may give lip service and say it's fine, but secretly they'll do what they think is right. Somebody who's totally outside of the picture understands that's the Jewish rules, and I can't do it. So yachi my yirim nationi kreit al shmo. So then, why do you go back and say you're not allowed to have the kuti work on the field because it's called on your name? Why don't you just say because you're enabling him to do an avera? The answer is chad veod kamar. Both reasons are true. Chad veshum lefnei. If all the nationi kreit al shmo, both reasons exist. Hanu marokai. These are not Moroccans. These are people who grew saffron. One of them was a Jew. The other was a non-Jew. The goy naked b'shabta, v'Yisrael b'chad b'shabta. The goy would take the profits of what was sold on Saturday, and the Yisrael would take what was sold on Sunday. Atu l'kamei d'Rava. This is one version of the story. They came to Rava and said, you know, we realize this might be a problematic thing. Is it permitted for me as a Jew to split the business this way and take the profits from Sunday? So Shalalu, Rava said it's mutar. Ravina turned to Rav and said, wait a second, Yisrael Goish Kiblu Sadeh B'shuta Food. We have a rule that if a Jew and a non-Jew got a field as partners, Yisrael should not say to the Goy, you take the Saturday proceeds and I'll take the Sunday proceeds. If originally when they set up the partnership, that's how they did it, then it's mutar. But if, on the other hand, after all the profits were in, then they decided to divide it up that way, then it's asur. So this is the challenge Ravina brought to Rava. Ichsif, Rava was embarrassed. He felt like he blew it. So the Rava turned out was right. Because it turned out that they found out that the Jew and the non-Jew had originally made this agreement before they even went into the partnership. Now, Gvia Mibei Katil Amar, he says the story was a little bit different. Hanhu Shtile de Orla Have. This was a case of Orla trees, meaning new planted trees. Goyachil Shnei de Orla, the non-Jew benefited for all the first 3 years. Yisrael Shnei de Hetera. And then the next 3 years, the Jew got the benefits. And it was the same sort of division. Atul Kamei de Rava, again, they came to Rava. This is the other version of the story. Shalalu, and he said, you're allowed to do that. Va'otver Ravina Rava, but we have the challenge that we just saw that Ravina challenged Rava. So the answer is the CACA. The answer is Ravina was actually bringing support to Rava because he said to him, if they made such an arrangement, it's mutar, and these people had made such an arrangement in the beginning when the Jew and the non-Jew bought these trees. The Jew said, I'm not allowed to benefit for the first 3 years, and the guy said, okay, we'll divide it that way. Va'ichsif. Well, then why was Rav embarrassed? The answer is, Rav never was embarrassed here. Had the story wrong. So now the question is, Stamamai. What if they don't make any sort of explicit arrangement, either of dividing or not? So Toshmai, Mitnu Mitchila Mutar. So the Braita said that if they made the arrangement in advance, then it's mutar. What do you infer from there? Hastam Asur, therefore without an explicit arrangement, it's Asur. But Eino Seifa. But the Seifa of the Braita says, Imbau l'cheshbon Asur. If afterwards they sit down and make an accounting, then it's Asur. Hastam Mutar, implying that without making the accounting afterwards, it's mutar. In other words, if they sort of let things slide sort of organically, and then the Jew took the profits from the permitted part, then it would be mutar. This is what we call the conflicted middle, where the two terms of the Braita take the two poles. In one case, mutar, implying anything else is asur. And the other one says, in that case, asur, implying anything else is mutar, and leaves us not knowing what to do with the middle. And the answer is, we really can't solve it from there. Hadron alach lifnei dehen. Baruch Hashem, we've come to the conclusion of the first parak of Avodah Zarah. The next podcast, we'll pick it up with the second parak. Meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.